Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Aaron, he is Andrew, and this is a very special episode where we will be discussing the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior.
Let's get right into the early independent scene. He used to actually team with a guy that you guys may know of. His name is Sting. And they actually just wrestled. They put some face paint on, and that's how they got there.
That's how they stood out, you know? I mean, because it made them unique. I mean, you have just a normal, well-built guy, and that's it. And unless you had some really great charisma or you were a great wrestler, you know, having the face paint, it's like, oh, you know, I remember watching Blade Runner Rock, who he had the face paint. He looked a little different. So, and that's kind of the thing in the early independent days. He actually went by the name Blade Runner Rock was his name. And then he, after him and Sting went separate ways, he was the Dingo Warrior.
What is the Dingo Warrior?
What is a warrior wrestle that's a dingo is what I want to know, you know?
I think he was like, you know, I want something that rhymes with bingo.
You know, who knows? But WWE, they saw him, they really liked him, and they, you know, they were talking about names, and they decided to go with the Ultimate Warrior. Because there were other warriors at the time, the Road Warriors, the Modern Day Warrior. So they went with the Ultimate Warrior, which made his character even bigger. You know, I mean, with a name like that, I mean, that's a pretty big, iconic name.
And the one thing that we probably should also start talking about right now is that he thought he was the Ultimate Warrior. As in that when he got to wherever he was wrestling, he thought he was the ultimate person ever. Didn't care about what anyone else thought. He just thought he was the ultimate person. He was just the ultimate person. That's the only way to put it. Not the ultimate warrior. He's the ultimate person. That's what he thought. He's what we call legend in his own mind.
And in his first run in the WWE, he had a lot of feuds. Some of the bigger ones that stand out, he had a feud with Andre the Giant. And they wrestled around the country. And this, of course, is before they really realized a lot of the shows. And so he's going around the country. You're seeing the Ultimate Warrior take on Andre the Giant, who's a former WWE heavyweight champion. And you're seeing just some really great matches. Now, that was his first run. Now, what did you think about this feud, Andy?
I was horrible. I just like the story about how Andre was like the nicest guy. Like, if you hear the cast from The Princess Bride, they just talk about how they couldn't believe how nice he was and how much beer he could drink. That was the two things you heard about. You could hear about how he could just basically put down a case, like three cases of beer, and be completely fine. And you also heard about how nice he was. Well, Andre loved wrestling. And when him and Hogan wrestled, he knew that Hogan loved wrestling. And most of the people he wrestled, they knew that they loved wrestling. Ultimate Warrior was in it for himself. There's no other way to put it. And Andre knew that. So the story goes this. They were wrestling each other. The first night,
He liked to do a certain move where he got himself tied up in the ropes.
Right. And basically what happened was that Ultimate Warrior would go about 55 miles per hour. He didn't like that. So then the second night, he went 100 miles per hour. Third night, he went 200 miles per hour. So the fourth night, when he was going about 200 miles an hour, Andre just put his fist out and knocked the Warrior clean out.
Yeah.
He got up and then he started going about 2 miles an hour. And I love that story because that just, I mean, when you have someone like Andre who says, you know, you need to slow it down or can you go a little bit slower, you work to their style. One thing about the wrestling business, you can tell the guys who actually care about the business because when they wrestle the old timers, they go at their pace, period. They just go at their pace. That's all that matters. The problem was that Warrior did not want to. And see, this is getting a little ahead, but a Warrior came back and did one more wrestling match. And the guy he wrestled doesn't wrestle that way usually. Usually he's kind of fast-paced. Well, this is the weird part. He went at his, that guy went at his pace, which said he respects the business. And I don't think Warrior ever did. But I just love that story because when Heenan told it, that was like the funniest thing because he put his fist out and then he stopped mm-hmm. doing it. So Heenan was very critical also of Warrior. That's the big thing.
But he also now and Heenan was the manager of Andre the Giant. He was also the manager of Rick Rude, who Warrior feuded with next.
Yeah, big time. And Rick Rude, of course, he was kind of a weird, weird wrestler. He was the ravishing Rick Rude as always, and he always had a real. I'm going completely off topic on this right now, but ravishing Rick Rude, I thought he was hilarious. He did one spot that I still find is the funniest thing. He could not find the mark in this one thing, and because he always would have someone take off his robe, he couldn't find the mark. So he said, "You guys aren't even good enough to have someone take off my robe for me." I always thought that was funny. Well, the Warrior wrestled him, and of course, Warrior went up on top because that's just how he is.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, I mean, Rick Rude, he really put the Warrior over. I mean, he made him look like $1 million. And it's not like Rick Rude was like the greatest, technical wrestler. He was a good wrestler, and he had tremendous charisma. He made him look amazing. And he really made the audience hate him. So when Warrior came in to beat him up, they absolutely loved him. And that's why sometimes your memories get shaped in such a way where you think the Warrior was a really great wrestler. And then you watch some of the old tapes and you're like, wow, you know what? He actually really sucked,
Yeah, especially because he got gassed when he got to the ring because he was running full speed. And then when he left the ring, he was still running at full speed, which didn't happen all the time, but most of the time he did.
Now, and the next thing that we have to talk about, which is the highlight of his career, WrestleMania 6, mm-hmm. title for title against Hulk Hogan, who is the biggest superstar at the time. You have this up-and-comer face him. And he beats him.
And also at that time, Hogan was considering calling quits because at that time, he was about that age. He maybe had a year or two left in him. Why don't you pass the torch?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he thought this match was. And of course, it was a great match.
For what it was. It was a very good match.
It was a great match as you remember it. Now watch it again.
It's actually not as bad as it could have been.
That is the best way to put it. But yeah, I mean, going back, it's not as, Hogan, it's like going back watching Hogan Giant. It's just one of those matches. Like when you remember it, it was a great match. But then you kind of watch now, you're like, okay, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like this one, it was over with and you're just like, what? And of course, it was title for title.
And I remember as a kid, I actually was incredibly upset that Hogan didn't win because I was a Hulkamaniac. I said my prayers. I took my vitamins. And
steroids.
And the thing is, I was so upset. So I didn't like the Warrior from that point forward because of that. But that was the biggest thing. Now, going over kind of the what we just talked about, though, is that Bobby Heenan was incredibly critical of the Warrior. So I just wanted to kind of take a moment, to step outside the chronological order of the self-destruction of Ultimate Warrior and just talk about this. Bobby Heenan... really, I mean, he laid into Warrior in every way, shape, and form. And I want to know, do you think it was justified or do you think it's a vendetta they had against him?
I think it's both. And he was not out of character because one thing Bobby Heenan has not been doing, he's not breaking character. He's not even in character. It's just that's who he is. Mm-hmm. This is what he thinks about the business. And the thing is, I think he said it best. I mean, and if you look, no matter how you look at it, Helwig didn't give a crap about WWE. It was about him, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bobby Heenan, you can't say that he's upset about it or that he has like a grudge against him because he doesn't. Technically, he's right. There's no other way to put it. He is right on what he said about the Ultimate Warrior. And even now, he's all about himself. He always has been. It's like, it's seriously like he thinks that he belongs in the WWE Hall of Fame or in the Hall of Fame, any Hall of Fame, doesn't matter what, because he changed his name to Ultimate Warrior.
The thing is, I would say, though, there was a section in there when he said that Bobby Heenan said, I think that all he did was he came out of a Gold's Gym with a can of tuna and he saw a WWE truck go by and he said, oh, I think I'll get rich doing that. And I think that's really characterizing him worse than what he is. I'm not saying that the Warrior isn't out for himself. And I think that there are a lot of guys in the business who are out for themselves. And then they get a little bit older, more mature. You know, Warrior at the time, I mean, he was a younger guy. And so, yeah, you know, he's thinking in one certain way. But I think that people demonize him a little too much. I do agree, though, that he probably was out for himself most of the time, if not, you know, 95% of the time. So, but
now, also, the funny thing is he was actually leaving the WWE at this time, and he wanted a certain amount of money right before he left, which I thought was kind of weird. And Vince paid him on it.
Mm-hmm. Like he was scheduled for the main event, and it was a huge match with him and Hogan taking on Sergeant Slaughter and the Axis of Evil. And he went into Vince and he said, I'm not going to do this unless you give me a certain amount of money. And this is something that, as a wrestling fan, I not only did I not know, but it's one of those like where it's like, wow, like you are just a jerk. I mean, you are the biggest type of jerk. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that you really look down on him. I mean, you really do. And afterwards, he got fired. And then after he got fired, he sued WWE for the name and likeness of the Ultimate Warrior.
Which, in a way, I see Vince's point on this whole thing. And that's why with some wrestlers, like for instance, like the Dudley Boys, Vince owns that, and it's his creative, whatever you want to call it, his thing. That's fine. But I think after you have that thing in the organization for so long, realistically, that should become yours anyways. But see, Hellwig was only the Ultimate Warrior for 6 years in the WWE. Straight, maybe, if that.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe like all together.
You know, the first one, because, you know, he died at one point.
And you know, the thing that was stupid, though, is that they said, oh, well, that rumor didn't stay around long. They were saying that rumor wasn't around very long. You know, people knew that it was still the same guy. I thought that it was a different guy up until I saw the DVD. Like, no joke, because I mean, the DVD came out like a long time ago. It came out, I think, I want to say like 2005 or 2006. And until they said something, I actually thought that he died. And when he came back again, I thought it was the second one. And then when the Warrior was in WCW, I thought that was the third one. Like, I'm not lying. Like, and that was something that we talked, like me and my wrestling friends, we talked about. We actually said, oh, it's just like the second or third one, though. You know, the first one's dead. So
apparently there's only been one Jim Hellwig. But
so, yeah. But, you know, the thing is, I would say about him keeping his name, or keeping the trademark, I can understand, though. Like, I mean, yes, you own a character, but if somebody creates the character and actually makes them big, that's, I think, different. You know, it's like with The Rock, you know, without Dwayne Johnson, you know, you're not going to have The Rock. You can't just have Matt Hardy become The Rock, you know?
Correct.
So that's why I actually disagree. You know, I mean, I'm obviously, there are probably some lawyers out there who would, you know, legally want to say, no. But I can understand why there would be the fight for that. So,
well, I understand it. But my thing is, he was only with the organization for X amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you hit like a 10-year mark or whatever, or even if you were to get like 8 years, technically there's only one person, and I think that right should become yours as well. At least that's my thing. But anyways, so he sued, of course, the title for the Warrior, and he lost at first.
Yeah, he eventually got it back. It was many years later. So, but he eventually got that back. Now, the one thing, though, I mean, going now to the second run, it was at WrestleMania where Hogan was wrestling Sid Vicious.
Now, what did they say what he did between those two times?
I'm sorry, Sid Justice. I should.
Yeah, Sid Justice.
Yeah.
Now, what did he do during that time? Did he even say?
Well, I mean, it was SummerSlam when he left. SummerSlam 91. He came back at WrestleMania 92. So, I mean, we're talking six, 7 months. I mean, you know, he probably just, you know, he's suing them.
Cooked on the Barbie.
Yeah, cooked on the Barbie. So, but he came back and he came back to help out Hogan. And I remember watching this and just being so happy that, you know, he was going to be there. And I was just like, I was excited. I was like, ecstatic. I really was. So, but he came back and, you know, people were hoping that they would kind of rekindle a little bit more, a little more excitement, you know. But the problem was that he, you know who he feuded with when he came back?
Who?
Papa Shango.
Ooh, Papa Shango, the godfather.
Yeah, so what did you think about this feud, Andy?
Papa Shango. I remember this. I didn't care less. Ultimate Warrior ran his course by now for me. I could care less about him.
Well, this was one of the most disgusting things I think I've ever seen.
Oh, the one guy had the puke that you could see, and he'd sit there eat the puke and then puke it up. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he left that year. He left the year that he came in. He left just as soon. So.
Oh, I thought he had a feud with. He had a feud with who was it? The Gobbledygooker? Is that right?
No. I mean, he did have a feud with Macho Man. You know, after Papa Shango, there was Macho Man. But after that, he actually took a pretty long break. Now, I guess, like, you know, before we go to the next time that he comes back, because he actually took a 4-year break. What I kind of wanted to ask you was, what did you think about Ultimate Warrior's interviews?
They were fantastic. There was not a bad interview. Okay, they were all bad. They never got better. They kept getting worse. It's usually, you know how someone like slowly improves every year with their, you know, interviews? Like Goldberg was horrible for the longest time. And now he is excellent when he talks on the mic. Even like, because he does special, speaking engagements and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Goldberg, it took a while, but he got trained. He was good. He does a good job now.
Mm-hmm.
Helwig still talks the same. And his interviews just kept slowly going downhill, and they kept getting worse and confusing. It's like, now I understand why the WWE actually has a script, because, yeah.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I would say about it is that as a kid, I do not remember that. Like, when I first watched the Self-Destruction, I said, these were his interviews? Like, this was the guy that I liked? For a short time? Mm-hmm. Really? Like, what was wrong with me? You know? I did not realize he was that bad. I really hope that other people had the same reaction to that, because I hope I'm not the only one. I really hope that I'm not the only one who was like, wow, that's what it was? That he is freaking crazy.
Yeah, they're just as bad. I mean, at least Randy Savage improved over the years. He just slowly went downhill. It was horrible.
Yeah, Randy Savage, I think, suffered from Alzheimer's, but, you know.
Anyway, so Ted DiBiase was also very critical of the Warrior. And was he justified? Because they didn't they have a mini feud?
They did. They had a feud. He actually feuded with him a little bit. I think, I want to say it was actually right after Ted DiBiase. He feuded, or right after, I'm sorry, right after Macho Man is where he feuded with him. So, but, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things where, unfortunately, they people can have a really bad reaction to the way he acts. I mean, you know, Hogan, when the Warrior said that he held Vince McMahon up and said, give me, you know, this much money or else I'm going to, you know, quit. Hogan was really like, look, let's beat him up and like show him, you know, a lesson. But then, like, when he came back a second time, you know, Hogan was like, oh, I like Jim. Jim's a great guy. It was just more of a, you know, he didn't like what he did at the time. He actually did like Jim, and he said that he still likes Jim. So, but I don't know. Now, I wanted to ask you about the last run in the WWE. You know, he came back 4 years later in 1996, and he had pretty much two feuds. And they were with Jerry the King Lawler and Triple H. So I want to ask you about Jerry. What did you think about his feud with him?
Blah. Boring. And then Triple H had to wrestle him. Boring.
What was funny is that he wrestled Triple H at WrestleMania 12, and Triple H gave him the pedigree, and he no-sold it. He immediately gets up and just beats the crap out of Triple H. And it was like, dude, you can't do that in today's wrestling. You have to sell moves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But nope, not for him. Not for Warrior.
Nope, there's not much to say until he came to WCW, because he took like, what, 3 years off after that?
It's actually just, I think it was 2 years.
Oh, 2 years? Okay, 2 years. So he came back 2 years later. He came out to Nitro, spoke for 20 minutes.
about nothing.
Bischoff and Hogan were like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Is this what's really going on? Should we cut him off?
Yeah. I remember watching that and thinking, wow, like it's so cool to see him back. When's he going to shut up? You know, because he just would not stop talking. And one of the things that Hogan and Bischoff were critical about him, critical about what he talked about, is that he brought up the WrestleMania 6 match. And I don't understand why they were so critical, because I don't think that was a bad idea. I mean, you know, he's saying that he beat you 8 years ago. I mean, this isn't a bad idea, in my opinion. It's a bad idea if you say that you fought last year, but 8 years ago, I don't think that's as bad of an idea. But that's, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's really that big of a deal. I think they made that out to nothing. I think the only reason they brought him back was because Hogan wanted to beat him.
And
that's it.
The thing is, Bischoff said that that was something that people are drinking Kool-Aid, if you think that's what it is. And the other thing, too, Mean Gene even said, like, on Self-Destruction, he was like, you don't make up for something that happened that long ago. You don't make up for it almost 10 years down the road. You don't. It's one person who you did not beat. There were plenty of people that Hogan wrestled that he did not beat. Plenty of people. So, I mean, just to have one person come back just so you can beat him, I don't think that's the case, in my opinion.
I don't think that was the whole case, but I think that had something to do with it.
I am sure that it's like, oh, hey, that's nice. You know, I did beat him, but do you think that he's thinking about... Do you think that if he did not beat him, he'd be thinking about it right now?
That's true. Didn't he also get hurt in his first match that he had? Like, they had... I can't remember what it was called. Someone's going to hit me, though. Where they had both... they had the two rings and the cage around it.
Yeah. Well, no. What happened was that they had the trap door there. And there were a couple of people who basically had a... They took a hit on there. Like, they did a, you know, just like a bump on there. And it actually, like, was... it hurt people because, you know, it was different. And there were some people that got hurt by it. So I don't remember.
I think Billy Kidman actually got hurt.
It might have been him. So
there's... Yeah, he was one of them. I'm just trying to remember what the pay per view was called. Fall Brawl or?
There was Fall... I believe that one was Fall Brawl. Yeah. Because then they wrestled at Halloween Havoc, which was the main event. And I just wanted to ask you, when you look up the worst wrestling match of all time, do you think this is the match that comes up versus Warrior at Halloween Havoc 98? Because imagine that, probably the match
ever
of all time. I mean, it was just ugh.
That's, I guess, the nice way of saying it.
I mean, what did you think about his run in WC? I mean, it was short and sweet. I mean, and Bischoff claims that when he was brought in, actually to do a long run, and that they were going to start him off with Hogan first because that made the most sense, and then they were going to actually branch him off to other people. Do you think that that was the case? I mean, like, what do you think? Because, I mean, he ended up leaving very quickly. He was only there for about 2 months. I mean, what do you think?
I still think that the only reason he was there was because Hogan wanted to beat him, and I think it was more because I don't think he ever beat a Warrior, like, ever, and that was, like, the big thing. He... quote unquote passed the torch to him, and he was kind of a jerk about it. That's I don't believe the... I'm not drinking any Kool-Aid, but I still say that's what the whole reason why he came back. That's it.
I don't know. I mean, I could see that, and I know a lot of people think that's what it is, but I don't know. I mean, the other thing too is that he was brought in for a short stint, and then the contract that he wanted huge money, and you know, he was not the type of person that deserved huge money, so. I mean, he left just as soon as he came in.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.
Where is the Ultimate Warrior, or Jim Hellwig, right now?
Well, he's actually he was doing some motivational speaking for a short amount of time.
And you take this grape, and this grape, you pull back the skin, and that skin represents what?
And then he's been doing some writing also. He actually has been doing a lot about his personal views on politics, sexuality, patriotism, blah, blah, blah. And then he also talks about, obviously, you know, wrestlers and whatnot. But that's pretty much what he's been focusing on. He's done some shows here and there, but not many. I mean, I think the only one that he did was the NWE, the New Wrestling Evolution. He only did one match there, and that was his first match in 10 years, you know. So it's one of those things where he hasn't been doing a whole lot in terms of that. But I wanted to ask you, Andy, what, you know, after going over all of that, you know, everything that we just talked about with the self-destruction and then, you know, just some little extra stuff, what are your final thoughts on Jim Hellwig or The Warrior?
I don't care for him. I mean, now what, how he's been, I just don't care. I just don't care. You know, great. He was there. And at that time, we all liked him. But it just proves my point that he was, well, now I've been proven wrong. He's just a nobody. I mean, he was a jerk. He wanted money all the time. It's all about him. It's not about the business. It's about what Jim Hellwig wants, or as he legally changed his name to Ultimate Warrior. And yes, he did have to sue the WWE, and eventually, yes, he won the lawsuit. But I thought it was funny that the WWE could also use his likeness in all their DVDs upcoming. It's just that he owns that name, and that's it. So his real name is Ultimate Warrior, which is kind of weird, but whatever.
Yeah, well, I got to ask you then.
Does his credit card say Ultimate Warrior on it?
Do you believe he deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame?
No.
Really?
Don't think so. Because first of all, it's all about him. And you know that if he did something with the Hall of Fame, you know that he would try and somehow turn around and basically make it still all about him. It's all about Jim Hellwig or the Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. And plus his speech, they'd have to have our good friend Joe Snyder come down and translate for us, because mm-hmm. we won't know what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, you really would have to have that. I mean, it's actually kind of a little
And Joe
ridiculous.
Might go, I don't know what he's saying.
you never know. Yeah, I mean, you never know. The one thing I would say, though, is that I think that I'm not going to say he's underrated as a wrestler, because he wasn't a good wrestler. He wasn't. But at the same time, it's not like Hogan was a good wrestler either. I mean, Hogan had tremendous charisma. That was his big thing. And Warrior had charisma, too. He really did. And I think that's one thing that people tend to forget, is that they think, oh, you know, they demonize him too much. And it's like, he got the crowd pumped. And, you know, yeah, he wasn't as popular as Hogan. And so when he beat Hogan at WrestleMania 6, some people didn't like him as much. And people watched Hogan leave as opposed to watch their new champion. I understand that. I really do. But the thing is, though, Warrior was your number two guy at the time. Hogan was number one, though. Hogan was the man. And when you have somebody beat the man, you don't like that guy who beat the man as much. So I think that he unfortunately is a little demonized. And this isn't nostalgic looking back at him. It isn't. It's giving the guy a little bit of a fair shot. And I'm not saying that he was I'm not saying he's a good person. I'm not saying that he was a good wrestler. I'm saying that, you know, you got to think of it at the time. In the 80s, at that time, he was in his 20s, you know, maybe late 20s, if I'm correct. And, you know, he was a little immature at the time. And I'm sure that he matured a little bit more, you know, and I'm sure that he actually became a little bit better. But I really do think that history is actually going to forget him. I really do.
Yes. And that's the sad part.
He is going to be, as weird as it sounds, even though he was in the WWE for 6 years. And, you know, I mean, I guess in wrestling, you know, like on the main stage for probably 7 years total, people are going to forget him. He's going to be a flash in the pan.
And
7 year flash in the pan.
Exactly. And, you know, it'd be nice to have a shoot interview with him. That's the one thing I'd really, I mean, there is one out there by a company that went out, and I don't think you can buy it anywhere. You actually have to look online to find that shoot interview, but it'd be nice to have one now to see what he says, because if he's changed, you know, and he starts saying good things about wrestling, because every time I hear anything he says, he always talks bad about wrestling.
Well, I can understand that there are a lot of people that demonize the sport of wrestling and all the bad stuff that happened. And during the time that he was in there, I mean, it was the steroid era. It really was. He took steroids. He admitted to it. Hogan took steroids. Vince McMahon took steroids. You know, I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, it's unfortunate. But yeah, people would demonize like the stuff that happened during that time. So,
yeah. So what do you think? Definitely. So you think Hall of Fame in a couple of years?
I would say that he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. In my opinion, I think that because of what he did at the time It's not about, like, you know, his long lasting, you know, I mean, because there are plenty of people in the Hall of Fame that shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame because they did. Yeah, they worked their butts off. But what they did not advance wrestling as much as the Warrior did. And I mean, whether or not you like him, the Warrior advanced wrestling. Whether or not you like Hogan, Hogan advanced wrestling. So,
okay. All right. So anyway, so if you have any comments about this episode, just send it to us. On the Twitter at OffTheMark86 or send us an email, otm@section86.com. Well, thanks for listening. I want to say thanks to Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank the listeners for taking the time to download and listen to this special. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.